Good evening, good chodesh, Rabbi Yisai. Gentlemen, page 414. Simchinu nein sif tal maim she'en amukim asor tfachim utu, which is less than 10 tfachim, deep. Elohim din maim lahatir lishpoich b'em chitzot luyo. The aloch is, we spoke numerous times, and this is perhaps the last time we're going to speak about b'chitzot luyo for a bit of time. B'chitzot luyo again was the concept of picture number 1, 2, 3 in the earlier page, a couple of pages ago. So the mechitza means the hanging mechitza of the see-through virtual mechitza that go down all down to the water. You can normally carry within a mechitza because it's considered shus yochid. We're now learning mechitza only works in water. And not only that, but the water needs to be 10 tefachim deep. If the water is less than 10 tefachim deep, mechitzat luya ain't going to work. V'kol shkenim yevshu hamayim, Rama says, we're going to next page Reish Ches, if it's completely dried up, and if it was historically less than 10 tefachim deep, and that might have been very nice at one point that it was 10 tefachim deep, but now that it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not going to help. What's the English expression? Let bygones go. What's the word?
Let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was 10 tefachim. It was good when it was, as long as it lasted. But now that it's less than 10 tefachim, it's tough luck, as we say in plain English. Now, I'm going to go on through the first three lines because we are very blessed and privileged that we've got a Dear Shu edition. And it's taking three lines to explain the situation, which we've got three pictures on the sides over here. So I'm just going to run through it, but please note that picture number 28 is exactly what we're talking about, and it's going to be extremely, extremely helpful. When there's two zustrois protrusions sticking out of the house, one on top of the other, but it's slightly next horizontally, a little bit side on the side. So yes, one is higher than the other, but they are not on top of each other. One is slightly to the side. But it is less than 10 tefachim sideways. So it could be a great distance in terms of height. It could be very far, but horizontally, it's within 4 tefachim from each other. Does that make sense? Does that description make sense? It could be very high, but it's within 4 tefachim sideways. Does that make sense, that description? Yeah, that's picture number 28. Whether it is within 10 tefachim, ben yesh b'neim yosim go by samus, so whether it's even 10 hamas high from each other. So look at the gentleman on top, picture number 28. He could be 10 hamas high. He could be extremely high. Now, pardon? In height, between gentleman one, gentleman two, protrusion one, protrusion two. Also, le'elyonu mechitza b'shutfes mishal shneem, if they made the top protrusion has been made in mechitza b'shutfes mishal shneem, is a joint mechitza for both gentlemen, i.e., both are entitled to use the top protrusion, v'le'osu le'tachtoinu klal, but the bottom one is private use. It will be also to use both areas until you make an eruv. Now this is the key point, that this is not really got to do directly with the halachas of carrying on Shabbos. It's not got to do with hoitzah, but it has to do with the halach of eruv. The Chachamim established that if it's an area that a few yidden, a Roshos Yochid area which a few yidden are using on Shabbos, which, by the way, is this case over here, that they want to use this protrusion for, as you can see on the picture, what do you want to use the protrusion for? Can you see on the picture? What do you think it's used for? What do you need this balcony for? No? No. But can you see the buckets of water? It's for lifting up the water. And so it's meant to be for public use. For not public, but for few yidden's use. So therefore, here there's halacha that since there's a few individuals who use it, so therefore you need to have an eruv. For kol shkenim osu shtenet achtoinu v'shtem asuras ad she'avu, this area needs now an eruv. You need to make an eruv because there's a few people using it. it's fine in terms of Roshis Yochid, they're both Roshis Yochid, but they still need an Eruv. Avol, kol achas men sha'osa levado b'shela. But if both are private use only, the top protrusion and the low protrusion are only for private use mamash, ein acher ze seres alea, then one will not ask on the other one, afilo osa acheres b'shela. V'chein im osu b'shtem b'shutfes mishal shneim, ein achas ze seres al chaverto. The point being, if it is private use, if the top one, only the top gentleman is going to use, the bottom one, only the bottom gentleman is going to use, you don't need an Eruv and it's fine. But if the lower one is going to be used by the top one, can you see on picture number 28, they are going, he wants, both want to use it. This is a clear picture here. They both want to use the protrusion lower down for their buckets. So now this needs an Eruv and you cannot just use it like this, because although it's a Rosh Yochid, but it will require an Eruv. Similarly with the top one as well, picture number 29, if the top one is used by both, then it will both will require an Eruv, and in fact, without it, it's going to be also to use. Okay, this is... So, the halacha of the four tefachim is explained in Sefkot Mem Dalet, that this is the Chumra aspect, if it's further than four tefachim away, it will not ask one another. Same there's a great distance. If it's more than four tefachim, it's considered the irregular tashmish, an irregular use, because you have to throw the bucket across. Since it's considered the irregular use, it will not ask one domain with the other. Okay, and this is the end of Siman Shinun Hey. Shinun Vav is for tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Now, I received today an email from my Yedid Nafshi, Orav Agon, Ramoshe Boch Ketanka Shlita, the Magid Shir of Tirshu in Gateshead, and one of the very Choshva, Magid Shir and Tamid Chomen. Yes, we were roommates, of course, absolutely. And he sent me some very interesting pictures of a Welsh castle, Conwy Castle in Wales, Conwy, C-O-N-W-Y.
Conwy.
Conwy Castle in Wales.
Oh, okay.
No, Conwy Castle?
Conwy.
How do you pronounce it?
Conwy.
Conwy. Here is the expert. The Klenkers know all about. Yeah. Okay. Now, this castle has on it, apparently... Not apparently, I saw the picture. There's this great castle, and on it you will see the protrusion that we discussed yesterday in great detail, of the Beis HaKiseh being an external aspect, and then like going, have an opening going down. This exists on this castle. So if anybody wishes, you can probably find the picture easily. He said that when he was in the guide show last time was in Wales. When was he in Wales? The tour guide showed around in this castle, and they showed this Beis HaKiseh that we discussed yesterday, having an external. It's attached to the wall of the castle, but it's like an opening, and that's what they use as a Beis HaKiseh. So that's mamash absolutely that. So I just want to share with you that it's not just the halach and shulchan aruch, but it actually realized. It actually exists in the castles this very day. Okay, if I can, I'll try to print it out and show it. If I can, I'll see if I'm able to. Okay, page 378. We discussed yesterday the halachas of Kosev, if it needs to be done on Miskayim. The Ramovi is now discussing the following, bottom, second line of page 378. We said yesterday that, do you remember the juice, the milk, the juice, and you want to put, yeah, we spoke about that, and we said that halacha is that it is? You can't, it's also. Ramo adds the following, there's two understandings in what it means. The literal translation is, you're allowed to do like this with your finger. So I'm going to do I, so I'm going to do like this. Right? Or a B, so. This is permitted. To show with your finger. Pardon? Yeah, to sign, basically sign language. Ba'avir kaminos is like letters. Not only that, but it's also permitted to do like an O like this, and a T like this. That's permitted as well. Now, why is this a chiddush? I would have thought perhaps, but why is this? I would have thought that perhaps it's also why? It's a form of writing. You're forming the letters. So whether you're actually just showing in the air what it is, or you're physically showing with your fingers the shape of a letter by creating that shape with your fingers, either way, this is mutter, and it's not considered koisef. Yes, you are forming a letter, but it is mutter. Why is it mutter? Oh, it's not tangible. Yeah. And even more than that, Mishnah Berurah says, pardon?
It's totally not permanent.
That's right. Not totally not permanent. It's so not permanent that it's mutter. So, if it's miskayim for more than 24 hours, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. If it's miskayim less than 24 hours, it's midrabanan. But if it's hard, if it just doesn't even, like, it's never really miskayim, it's just like in the air, then it's mutter. What about if you've got a water, and in the water you're shaping it. It's water, but it's got it in a split second. It's back to. Would you say that's on which level? The Raisa level, the Rabbana level, or Mutter level? You won't see it for long, but at least you have made it in a. Yeah, it won't last. Obviously, you're right. It won't last, but you've actually done it not in the air, but you're doing the same action in the water. Mutter also. Mutter? It is mutter. So, it is mutter. What about, if you've got wet hands, and you've got a board, or a table, and it's moist, and you're shaping the letter on that? It's going to be a bit visible for a bit. Might be a problem. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says over here in Sefkot Mechov Beis, page 378. It is Bavir in the air, which means that it's Mutter. So he actually said it's Mutter. Since it doesn't last at all, it's going to be Mutter. And therefore, it doesn't resemble juice and the other scenario that we discussed earlier in the sand. So it's interesting, this is mutter. The Mishnah Berurah now goes into great extended detail about halachas of koisev. I want to briefly go through them because the Shulchan Aruch is basically finished in terms of koisev. So I want to quickly go through the points. If you continue in Sefkot Nechov Beis, Mishnah Berurah brings in by the Aleph. Can you see the Aleph over there? He brings the following conditions. One, a koisev needs to be only something which is with an ink which is long lasting. We spoke about that. And then he brings the next, his base, which is the bottom line. He speaks about, what about making letters on the skin? What if you scratch your skin? What's halacha? The Raisa level, the Rabbanan level, or Mutta level?
Doing letters on your skin.
Pardon?
With a pen?
No.
With your
hand? With your hand, with your finger, with your nail.
You're leaving a mark.
Yeah, a little bit of a mark, yeah.
Like
not doesn't last for long. You know what I mean. You can scratch. He says that it is chayev d'oraisa. That's what he seems to be saying. Yeah, chayev. Okay, so that's a good question. So if you look at the words of Mishnah Berurah in the bottom line, it says with an ink. With an ink, he says chayev d'oraisa. But that's chayv d'oraisa. But then he continued on the next line. But if you're doing the case that I just mentioned now, then it's potu. That's midrabanan. That's not a normal way of writing, to scratch on your skin. So that's midrabanan. You're right. It's not d'oraisa, but it's midrabanan. The gimel is ksav al gabi ksav. Now that what's the halacha? If you've got a written text, and you go over it with an additional layer of link. Now, this is what the Sofrim do, by the way. Sofim, they will often go over the letters again and again to make it darker and better. And so would that be, and it's in the eyes of the Rabbanon, Ksav al Gabi Ksav. Mishnah Berurah says, HaKosef Ksav al Gabi Ksav, if you add letters on top of letters, Tainu, Ayi, Shehevi, Kulmus, Aloysis, Aksuvim, Kvav, Chitcham, Yom Echadash, letters that were written already, Potu, is Potu, which means it's still Drabonon, Tolo Yani Midi, because you haven't really done much. He goes into Dalet, how much do you need to write in order to be Chayef? And he says, Ena Kosef Chayef, Chatos, Achichtov, Shte Oysis. Two letters. Now that's interesting. He says, you're only Chayef if you write two letters. If you write one letter, it's not, you know, you don't bring a carbon. He goes to Seif. Now we go to the next point, which is the point of Vav. And here he says that that it doesn't have to be on one page. You could actually have two pages. So if I write Aleph over here, and then I write a Vase over here, and it's two separate pages, still Chayv D'Oraisa. Okay? And then he continues, and he brings in point number Zayin. What that's probably the one of the most relevant. I'm on page 380, Mishnah Berurah, first, second, third, fourth line. What if you write with your left hand? Writing with your left hand. If your right hand, assuming you are.
Again, if you're left handed, you're right.
Yeah, what's the halacha?
Shinui.
Very good. And therefore?
It's not allowed, but
Drabonon, indeed. Yeah.
What happens if you was it
left? Yeah, very good. Gemara asks you a question. So, the halacha is as follows. Hakosef b'smoiloi, if you write with your left hand, oy lacha yodo, oy in a irregular way, such as with a backwards, like this, you take a pen and you write like this. You turn your hand around. Biraglo, if you're able to write with your foot. Anybody? Try that. You stuck it between your toes. How about that? You can try that once. Befiv, if you're able to write with your, you stuck the pen in your mouth. Yeah? If it's really boring shit, try that once. Yeah? Uber mafuka with your elbow. Poto. Yeah, poto. It's only with Rabbonon. Bibnesh and Achsiva Begach, because it's not the regular way of writing for most of us, I suppose. Why is this really important and really relevant? Yeah, absolutely. If you're ever in a situation, that, for instance, in a hospital or under any emergencies or a serious situation, so obviously if it's time-bound, we learned in Simchat Chofres, don't waste time, don't lose time over it. But if there's no time factor involved, or if it's a that's the most common scenario. Then, if it's not, doesn't time wise doesn't make a difference, then you should write with your left hand. Now the obviously a left handed person will be chayav with the left, and he needs to write with, and he will need to write for the right hand. And then he brings your case. Asholi b'shtei yodov, somebody is able to control equally both hands. Then it's chayv whether it's the right hand or the left hand. But we need to remember that the person who writes with left. Now I must say there's a very big chiddush I saw once, which every single posik disagrees with. He's always as follows: what's the halacha if a person writes with his left hand, but not only he writes with his left hand, but actually his left hand is doing a shinu with his left hand? Can I just have a pen for me? Have you got a pen? So we learned. So this is, if you write like this, it's chayv Torah transgression. If you write with your left hand, then it's Drabonon. We also learned, somebody writes like this, that's also a significant shinui, and it's Drabonon. That's what we saw, yeah? So, what's the halacha if a person doesn't only write with his left hand, but he turns it around now, that whilst writing with his left hand, he makes an additional shinui, and he writes with his left hand, is that called upside down? It's not really upside down, it's... how do you say it? It's in a weird way inverted in his whilst using his left hand. So since we've learned that writing with your left is Drabonon, And since we learned that in irregular ways also Dabbanon, so perhaps that's a double Dabbanon. Fancy that. Double Dabbanon, we know, is Mutter Mokka Mitzvah. So therefore, very good. So although one of the Achronim wants to suggest that he was attacked by all Achronim, including Rabbi Kagan, and they tell that it's not true. The whole point is, the whole vote of Smoil is the same point than Shinoi. It's that it's an irregular way. You can't do more irregular than irregular. Once you're doing it in irregular way, then it's irregular. It's the Dabbanon. You can't double that up. So therefore, it remains one Dabbanon. And these are pretty much the points that he says over here. One shaila, which is often discussed in the poskim, is the shaila of if you've got ink on your hands, markers or pens, especially for teachers who are using the old-fashioned whiteboards, you know, not the digital kind of stuff.
Chalk, what was the chalk?
No, not the chalk. Why? But the markers. So often you have markers. I'm sure you don't have markers anymore, no? No, it's the old-fashioned stuff. But if you've got markers, so you've got stain. Yeah, and the shaila is now, if you want to wash your hands, can you wash your hands properly on Shabbos in order to, and you're going to remove that markers of your fingers, and especially if there's a shaila of, Netilas Yadayim. So I want to know, is that the best thing to do? If you want to wash your hands on Friday or Shabbos, and you realize that actually you've got plenty of markers still for some reason or whatever, and you want to maybe remove it for Netilas Yadayim, are you allowed to wash your hands really thoroughly and thereby removing the markers of your hands? Or is that considered moichik?
Is there a letter on your hand?
Nope. Yep. Okay, so the answer to the point is that are you allowed to write with a marker? Would you be allowed to write it on your hand like this? No, you're not, because it's koisev. So the assumption is that whenever there's koisev, there's moichik by rubbing it off. Yeah, but just like you wouldn't be allowed to write it, then also rubbing it off is also moichik. Koisev and moichik go hand by hand. Whatever you're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to destroy. Whoever you're not allowed to koisev and moichik are parallel. So the assumption is, although there is something in the poskim of what you're saying, but you may be right, but the assumption is, the starting point is to understand that whenever there's koisev, there's moichik, and therefore should be a problem. So the assumption would be that it's also maisa. It could be that it's muta, because it's not considered. Although the Arpoiskimu Asad, the Chayotam is famously quoted in Mishnah Berurah, also brings it, that to clean your hands from significant dirt is actually a problem. Some Poiskim are slightly more lenient, but it's probably true to say that it remains a machlok as a chayin if you can positively rub off and clean your hands from marker stains on your hands. Happens to be that with the Gassan Tilas Yadayim, it's probably not so much of a shaila anyway, because it's not considered chatzitza, because it's only, it doesn't have a moshes, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. So pick your chumra. You can either be machmen in Gassan Tilas Yadayim, or you can be machmen in Mechike B'Sham. If it's two letters, if you actually wrote down, if there's letters on your hand, then it's more severe. Then it probably is takano heta. Yeah. Okay, these are the lochas for this evening, and I wish you good chodesh, and we'll continue tomorrow.